Good afternoon. The show is Live and Local, your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for very much for joining us on the program today. We have a three-part show for you. And coming up towards the end of it, I'll be talking with Mark Boone, who has been involved in actually radio and music for a long, long time. And his current band, Mark Boone and the Unknown Legends, will be playing in Bloomington twice in the next 10 days or so, including this coming Sunday at Connie Link Amphitheater. And then as our second segment, I'll be talking with one of the founders, actually the founder, of Stone Soup Shakespeare, who are presenting As You Like It for free in Paris, Illinois, on Saturday at Twin Lakes Park. That is one of the hallmarks of what they do. Well, two of the hallmarks of what they do: perform for free and perform in the outdoors. And that starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday. But first, a conversation with the director of Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble based in Springfield, who have two performances this weekend in Morton on Saturday and in Springfield on Sunday. You'll eventually recognize this tune from their most recent CD. George Gershwin's I Got Rhythm, a performance by Bells in Motion, live in concert, which appears on their CD called Bronze Images. It came out a few years ago, directed at the time by Michael Lamb. They are giving their spring concerts this week on Saturday at First Mennonite Church of Morton, and then on Sunday at Central Baptist Church in Springfield. Their current director is Casey Congdon. She's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So what brought you to handbell ringing in the first place?
I had a piano teacher when I was in junior high whose husband was the director at their church, and she was helping him recruit for their bell choir, and they had a phenomenal high school group that did a lot of touring and concertizing in the Chicagoland area, and asked if I would like to be part of that. And so I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what a handbell is. And so she invited me to attend a rehearsal, and I was hooked.
That was it.
It was. I've always been, when I was a child, I was always one that wanted to do uncommon instruments. So at the time that you could be part of the grade school orchestra, I wanted to be the viola player because there weren't any. And then when I got to be junior high and I could join the band, I wanted to be the trombone player because there weren't any trombone players, let alone females. And Mom and Dad, of course, said, no, one instrument is enough. But when my piano teacher asked about handbells, my parents said, sure, why not? So why the change of heart, I don't know, but I appreciate that they said yes, because it has opened up tons of doors for me.
For example?
I am a charter member of a group in the Chicagoland area called the Agape Ringers that perform. I have had several church jobs up there in the Chicagoland area as a bell director. I have been teaching at workshops and conventions, and now I'm the director of Bells in Motion, and the opportunities are endless as long as you wait for that open door to happen and say yes.
I guess when we're talking about handbells and the notion that opportunities are endless, I wouldn't have put the two ideas together.
They're endless in that while a lot of people don't know what they are or know about them, we are on the cutting edge of spreading the word and getting the knowledge out there. Doing school concerts, doing workshops at schools, being at the ACDA conventions.
That's the American Choral Directors Association.
Right. The IMEA, which is your Illinois Music Teachers Education System. It's a good way to incorporate kids into a program and still teach them music and give them a team effort that they can be part of and proud of, because it's a different instrument in that you only have two notes out of the melody, and you have to figure out how you fit within that group and that melodic line. So it's a different concept than playing the entire melody line as a flute or violinist does.
One of the reasons that I said what I said about the, you know, I forget how you put it, the sky's the limit or the possibilities are endless with bell choirs, because I usually associate bell choirs with church. And so that's sort of a confined place for that kind of music to happen, to take place. But Bells in Motion, and I'm going to assume the Agape Ringers, although I'm not so sure, do a whole lot more than sacred music. In fact, I think Bells in Motion does mostly other stuff, right?
Right. They are known for their jazz programming. And that is part of what Bells in Motion is all about. They want to expand the horizons outside of church and outside of school and show you that you can have another avenue where bells can be used. We bring in a drummer and a bass player and sometimes a pianist. And in this particular concert, we've got a jazz vocal quartet joining us, along with four-hand piano and drums and bass. So we have quite an assortment of outside instrumentalists joining us.
Well, since you mentioned the jazz influence, this is not exactly a jazz tune. It can be called a standard, but it gets adapted by so many different musicians of many kinds. This is Georgia on My Mind. Do I remember that's Hoagy Carmichael tune?
It is a Hoagy Carmichael tune.
And this is also from the Bells in Motion CD, and this is going to be on your concerts this week, this weekend, right?
It is. We are looking forward to having the jazz combo join us.
Let's give a listen. This is Bells in Motion Handbell Ensemble based in the Springfield area. They're giving concerts on Saturday in Morton and Sunday in Springfield. My guest is the current director, Casey Congdon, and the former director at the time this recording was made, Michael Lamb, is directing here. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Georgia on My Mind, performed by the Handbell Ensemble called Bells in Motion from their Bronze Images CD. They'll be playing that tune and many others on a concert they're calling American Tapestry this weekend. First Mennonite Church of Morton is the location for Saturday night's concert, and on Sunday afternoon it'll be at Central Baptist Church in Springfield. Casey Congdon is their director. She's been with them now a couple of years and is my guest on Live and Local. Tell us a little bit about this particular program. I said American Tapestry, and both of the tunes we've played so far are, you know, sort of the American swing standard repertoire. What else is on there?
American Tapestry title was chosen because three of the selections are part of a suite. We have a march, a jazz rag, and a spiritual, which is Down by the Riverside, that was written for the International Symposium for the Handbell Organization, and that was held in Orlando, Florida several years ago. And they had over 800 to 1,000 ringers come in, and they all give a mass concert. And they had commissioned those three pieces as to represent America and what our music heritage is. So we had choirs from Korea, Japan, Canada, China. It was quite an assortment, and that's, you know, music is that universal language that everybody can communicate through. So they have a mass conductor get up and several translators that translate the instructions. And then they give a final concert, and the American Tapestry Spiritual and Jazz Rag also incorporated four-hand piano duet, SATV choir, and a concert band, which we will not have all of those participants this weekend, but we will have a reduced rendition of that.
Is there what's the size of the ensemble? How many folks?
We have 18 ringers.
And is that a typical size or sort of a required size for a handbell ensemble?
You need, for a 5-octave ensemble, it requires 14 ringers minimum. And because we have the lower register of the instrument, it requires 2 or 3 more because they're a little unruly in those bigger bells.
Unruly meaning?
Meaning gravity and size. It's like trying to swing a tuba.
I sort of like that image of a tuba having, I mean, a tuba has a bell on it, but the idea of having a clapper
that
inside that bell.
Yes, that's about the right size. That's a good vision to have.
Seriously? They're really that big?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that those people ringing those bells are only doing one.
Correct. And they're using 2 hands at all times.
What are some of the important principles of coaching a handbell choir?
Working as a team, being cognizant of what's going on around you, how you fit into the accompaniment or the melody, whether it's your moment to shine or whether you need to play the accompanying role and not steal somebody else's thunder.
Although inevitably everybody is part of either, well, I guess this just reinforces what you just said. They're either part of the melody at a given moment or they're part of the...
Right, and you just need to know how you fit into that. Because when it shifts from the treble clef to the bass clef, that middle register has to know, are they doubling the melody down an octave? Are they part of the accompaniment pattern? And sometimes this is a little tricky because of the way they notate the music. It's a little tricky to know where and how you fit in.
It sounds relatively complex, and for a group that plays in an advanced way as Bells in Motion does, would it be a safe assumption that in order to play in this group, you better have some ringing experience? You're not going to have novices join Bells in Motion.
Correct. When they see the printed page and how it looks like a plate full of ants, it usually, they take one look at the music and they're like, yeah, I can't do this. I'm not ready for this yet.
So probably everybody has started in a church choir, a church handbell choir, I'm
correct.
Guessing.
That's usually where, and they're ready for a bigger and better challenge.
Well, it's a treat to have a group such as this in our area, and I have no idea how many of our listeners have had a chance to experience the ensemble before, but they've got 2 opportunities this weekend, Saturday night at 7 o'clock at First Mennonite Church of Morton on South Baltimore Avenue, and then on Sunday at their home base in Springfield, 4 o'clock, at Central Baptist Church on South 4th Street. Well, Casey Congdon, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm wishing you the best of luck with your concerts on the weekend. And since I didn't have a chance to tell you a couple of years ago, welcome to the directorship of Bells in Motion.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for joining us. Let's have another of a clearly jazz-based tune. This one comes from, made famous by and written by Duke Ellington, or I guess Billy Strayhorn. It's It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. Bells in Motion from their Bronze Images CD here on Live and Local. Bells in Motion in Duke Ellington's It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Programs today are made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. My next guest on Live and Local is Julia Stemper, who is one of the founding members, well, she is essentially the founder of Stone Soup Shakespeare, which originated in Carbondale, Illinois. She calls herself here the head dreamer and player. I like that, meaning she is one of the players. And Stone Soup Shakespeare will present Shakespeare's play As You Like It for free on Saturday in sort of on the outskirts of our listening area in Paris, Illinois, at Twin Lakes Park. Starts at 6 o'clock. And just the fact that it's free is one of the hallmarks of Stone Soup Shakespeare. Boy, that's hard. I don't want to try saying that fast.
It's one of our warm-ups when we are ready to perform. We make sure we can say our own name.
Is that actually true?
We do. We've got a few others, but that's the first one that we go to.
That would be a good one. Well, Julia, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I read a little bit about how the group got going, but why don't you tell our listeners, since they haven't read the articles I've read?
Sure. So I was finishing up my master's in Scotland and was doing some scene work with Romeo and Juliet. It was a balcony scene, which is, you know, arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, and oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? And I was actually playing Romeo. And it was kind of weird, but a lot of fun to all of a sudden be doing this show that we were doing outside, and we enjoyed it so much, we decided, oh, we want to do this again. We want to do the whole thing and see what happens if we take the whole production out of doors to audiences that may not necessarily expect it. We had a lot of small kids just playing in parks that would come up, and they wanted to be a part of the show. And because there's never really a good time to start a free endeavor like this, we just said, rather than trying to wait for the lottery to give us the money, we were just going to do it. So we decided to form a company, Stone Soup Shakespeare, where the whole mission is to give this work that we love so much to the public for free, particularly to places that might not have as many opportunities to see professional Shakespeare right at their fingertips. It's a little bit more risky if you have to drive 2.5 hours and, you know, spend $40 a ticket, plus who knows what kind of gas money and babysitting money, and, you know, you have to have dinner beforehand or something. So we thought, no, we're going to do this, and everyone can come, and you can bring your picnic, and you're just going to have fun. And if you like it, you stay and have some laughs, and if you don't, there's the park. So you're all set. It's kind of no-risk Shakespeare.
So what were you doing in Scotland?
I was getting my master's at then the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts. They've since changed the name to just confuse all of their alumni to the Royal Conservatoire. But I was getting my master's in acting in theater, classical and contemporary studies, and I was lucky enough on the program to not only study in Scotland with some amazing practitioners and just amazing views of mountains and whatnot, but also to have the opportunity to study at the Globe in London with the directors and practitioners who teach the professionals on the Globe stage. So it was a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
And the Globe was the original venue for Shakespeare's plays.
That is correct. The Globe Theatre in London, they rebuilt it not too many years ago. The original building burnt down because actors sometimes cause mischief.
And were you particularly focusing on Shakespeare when you were there, or that was just one of the things you were doing?
My focus has almost always been on Shakespeare blended with contemporary new works, the idea of devising pieces and taking care of creating new thoughts and new pieces, new stories, or retelling old stories. It was a lot of fun to combine the two, because with the idea of creating new stories, all of a sudden it helped us find a new way of looking at Shakespeare, not as this old stodgy writer who was doing things, you know, 450 years ago, happy birthday Shakespeare, but as a writer of his time who was a new writer, and it brings this energy to the productions so that you're not thinking about some stuffy professor in a classroom when you look at his work. You're actually thinking of, okay, these are people who were living and breathing, and they were having fun, and they were in a crazy city at a crazy time, and they were creating new work. And so we can bring that same fresh new work to what we do.
So I'm looking at a picture, a photo from some years ago, four years ago, of you in a beard.
Yes.
for an early production, I guess, in the life of this company.
That is correct. That was a production of The Winter's Tale.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about how, maybe specific to As You Like It, since that's the one you're doing in Paris, Paris, Illinois, we should qualify, about what sort of new things do you bring to this play?
Sure. Well, we don't look at it in any kind of light thinking that anything's difficult. It's just a new way of speaking, a new way of creating words. The first thing we do is, rather than getting frustrated with any of the language, we get excited by it and try and figure it out and figure out how it resonates the themes and the stories in today's life. And we've got these great themes of people running from the city life and the court life for one reason or another into the country, and all of a sudden what that means to them, finding themselves in the middle of a forest with new people who, some of them are, you know, as every location, not as intelligent, and others are way smarter than them and have, you know, this wonderful philosophy on life, and how that's so true in our society today, that no matter where you go, you're going to find these people who are just going to help you look at the world kind of with new eyes. Beyond that, we try and bring that fun, fresh look. And in this particular show, we actually are including puppets. So some of the characters that people will be seeing on Saturday are not actually played by human beings, but are played by tin can puppets and Muppet-looking puppets. And a pillow, in fact, is one of our puppets. So we hope to, you know, expand people's thoughts on, you know, just what it is to be some of these characters and some of the quirkiness that brings. We also add songs that are this year 1940s style songs. The entire production has a bit of a USO theme to it. We set it in the South Pacific as if it were a USO show, and we've got sailors who are taking on the personas and other USO performers who are dancing and singing and doing some comedic shtick, and in the midst they're also telling the story of As You Like It.
And this is not so much of a stretch that people who know the play won't recognize it.
Oh, no. We completely use Shakespeare's language. Because we're trying to get it down to 90 minutes, we occasionally cut a few things here and there, as Shakespeare himself would have done when his troupe was touring, to make sure that they weren't offending anyone and that they were getting it in their own time that they needed to make sure that everyone was happy. So we've taken a few cuts here and there, but the language is all Shakespeare's. And thus far, I have yet to hear anyone complain that they missed too much of anything, and I think almost everyone has been okay with the puppets. So it should be a good bit of a laugh.
Is there a green show for this production?
We do. We have a little bit of a green show. Right beforehand, some new words written completely for the production to help get everyone in the spirit and the mood of Stone Soup Shakespeare's show.
And why is a green show called a green show?
Well, I'm glad you asked. A green show originates all the way back to Shakespeare's day, when younger writers would kind of start the evening of shows off with a show that they had written that was, you know, 5-10 minutes tops, that would either be on the same theme as the evening's performance or would be something really quirky. Sometimes it was the actors themselves that had never done any writing that decided that they would take it on. Sometimes it was a seasoned writer, but they brought in all of the youngest actors to perform. So it's kind of a green show in the sense that it's the young, the fresh, the new.
So it's not that the show is performed on the village green.
Most of the time, nowadays, they do that kind of thing. There are lots of different green shows around for different festivals. I know that if you look in Oregon at the Ashland Shakespeare Festival, they actually have their green show in the center of town to try and convince everyone to come out to the show. And some of the green shows in Shakespeare's day would be roaming a little bit more, but they would also sometimes do them right before the show, as we're doing right at the same location.
So the green show will start at 6?
That is correct.
And then Shakespeare's As You Like It right afterward.
Correct.
It's going to be a twin.
Seamlessly transitioning into it.
It's going to be at Twin Lakes Park in Paris, Illinois, 6 o'clock this coming Saturday, put on by Stone Soup Shakespeare. Stone Soup Shakespeare. Stone Soup. I can't do it. I'll have to practice. I have to come down with you guys and practice.
In order to show up, I promise.
And it's free. It is free. So you can take the whole family and Probably bring a picnic, I suppose, I imagine.
Yes, we encourage eating, and who knows, you might get some actors on your picnic blanket if the food looks good enough.
Oh, that sounds like a fair trade to me. Julia Stemper is head dreamer and player. She's the artistic director for Stone Soup Shakespeare, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you today on Live and Local.
A pleasure to talk to you as well. Thank you so much.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. And coming up, part three of today's Live and Local program, a conversation with musician Mark Boone, whose group The Unknown Legends will be playing at the Connie Link Amphitheater in Bloomington Sunday from 4 to 6 and at Miller Park in Bloomington on the 25th from 7:30. Here's Mark Boone as a solo act from his CD simply called Mark Boone and his own song, Mary Ellen.
Her name is Mary Ellen, and she grew up in Baltimore. When she turned 17 years, we entered into war. She served coffee at the USO, waved to troop trains as they passed. She saw the future in their eyes, so they all grew up too fast. She lost a friend somewhere in Europe, and her brother died at Pearl. She wanted to enlist, she said, but they wouldn't take a girl. She met a handsome sailor who saw zeros block the sun, studied nursing just to help the cause, danced with the servicemen for fun. She drove rivets for the Air Force, collected tin cans for the drives. She wrote letters for the wounded, to those still left alive. She said she once met Francis Langford, selling war bonds at the show. And she loved to hear old Nat King Cole, but she melts to Vaughn. Raised her family with that sailor man, had three girls but lost a boy. She taught them confidence and duty and the tragedy of war. She buried him in 79, and the girls have long since moved away. But they all come back to Grandma's house every Christmas Day.
It's a song called Mary Ellen by Mark Boone, who also sang and played the guitar. And he and his group called The Unknown Legends are going to be performing a couple of times in the coming weeks in Bloomington. Sunday night at the Connie Link Amphitheater, I should say Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6, And then a week later at Miller Park on the 25th, that's going to be in the evening. And Mark Boone, my guest this portion of Live and Local. Appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, Kevin, thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what you do when you're not making music, and then how long you've been making music.
Yeah. Well, I work at the Music Shop and Pro Sound Center, the location in Normal, not the one down in Champaign. So I'm involved in music there as a salesperson. That keeps me busy during the days, and I also direct my church choir, which keeps me into music, and have a little trio that's called O Solo Trio that plays quite a bit, and the band, of course, as you mentioned, Mark Boone and the Unknown Legends, and we're primarily a summertime band. This past winter, we were kind of, I think as everybody was, hibernating for the entire time, trying to be able to get our ducks in a row, but music is what I do throughout my life. It's been that way for a number of years now.
Did you start out with a garage band?
Yeah, way back when, and going back in the 60s, started playing when I was in grade school and junior high, and always played a lot of music throughout high school, and was in bands here in Central Illinois for years, and then was in a band called Hip Pocket. That was a band that I created back in 1986, and we were together for 25 years, and I guess I kind of made a small footprint in the world of music in blues and R&B here in Central Illinois and throughout the area for, like I say, 25 years, and took a little break from that, and then decided I couldn't stay away from a big sound, so I got another eight guys together, and we formed Mark Boone and the Unknown Legends.
That's a pretty big band. Was Hip Pocket similarly sized?
Yeah, Hip Pocket was, we were up to 10 people at times, even 11 when we did a finale, a big send-off, I guess it were, at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in January of, about 3 years ago. And we had, I think, 14 people on the stage that night. So it was just depending upon how it did. But when you have horns and horn sections and things of that nature, they can grow exponentially as the needs be. And so it was quite a large group. And I like that. I like having a lot of people around me and the creativity that can come from that many people.
The song we opened with is one of your originals.
Yeah.
Has that been a hallmark of most of the bands you've played with, or has it always been a mix of covers and originals, or were you formerly doing mostly covers?
Yeah, mostly covers. I was always of the understanding, for myself at least, that there are so many people that tell stories so much better than I do. And I've always tried to be able to give credit where credit is due. I don't try and claim anybody else's music as my own, but from time to time I try and, you know, there's something that creative spirit, I guess, in everybody, that there's just a story that you feel you need to be able to tell. And that particular story, Mary Ellen, was, I was sitting one night watching the World War II history. They had finally found a lot of color film. And so they were showing a lot of things like that. And they got to a point where they were talking about women during the war, and started thinking about my mom and the story she had told about waiting for my dad to come back from overseas and stuff. And it just kind of hit me that I had not heard a song about that. And so I just started sitting down and thinking about the things that my mom had done, and friends of hers, and other people, my aunt, and other people that we had known. And the song kind of just started kind of coming together. In some ways, it's a very sad song, I guess. But at the end, you know, we all go back to Grandma's on Christmas Day. And I think that those kinds of images just started coming up in my mind, you know, and I raced to be able to try and put something together with it. But they don't happen very often. I think there's a lot better storytellers out there.
We have a song here that I recognized from years ago, from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young that you cover, called "The Lady of the Island." I saw a particularly beautiful one. Why did you pick this particular song? And I guess the corollary question is, what makes you decide on a song to cover?
It has to. First of all, the song has to speak to me in some way. And Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, their harmonies, their vocal harmonies, and the complexities of their chord structure and things like that. When I was listening to them, you know, back in the '60s, was something a little bit different than I've heard on the radio or heard on record. And so it caught my ear for some reason or other. I was never a big Beach Boys fan or those kinds of things, but I really was intrigued by their vocal harmonies. And that song was one that I'd always wanted to be able to do. And when I recorded the solo release called Mark Boone, there are three different Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young songs that were on there that are on the CD. And there's just a, like you said, it's just a beautiful song, first of all, but the guitar things, I tried to be able to push myself at that particular time and find some things that would make me a better player, and then I could sit down and work on and really try to be able to get some of, at least, I'm never going to be able to play like any of those guys, but try to be able to at least do it justice, and hopefully that's what happened. And I enjoy singing harmonies along with myself, being able to go into the studio here at my house and be able to sit and listen to things over and over and over again and sing along with myself. I always, the nice thing about it is you know where you're going to go with the next note, so it's kind of easy to be able to follow. But I just like their structure of harmonies. So
if the vocal harmonies are all yours here, I assume both guitars are yours then.
Yes, uh-huh.
As well.
Yeah.
It's Mark Boone from his solo CD of the same name, and it's Lady of the Island from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. He and the Unknown Legends will be performing Sunday in Bloomington, 4 to 6 in the afternoon at Connie Link Amphitheater. He's my guest this portion of Live and Local.
Undisturbed before the fire, the pressure in my chest when you breathe in my ear. We both knew this would happen when you first appeared, my lady of the island. Brownness of your body in the fire glow, except the places where the sun refused to go. Our bodies were a perfect fit. In afterglow we lay, my lady on the island, letting myself wander in the world inside your eyes. You know I'd like to stay here until every tear runs dry. Of sunlight light the stage, the red light's on. I never want to finish what we've just begun to do, my lady of the island.
Lady of the Island by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, performed by Mark Boone, doing all the vocals and both the guitar parts. And he often performs solo. He sometimes performs as duo. He sometimes performs as trio. And so that entity of solo, duo, or trio, he bills as O Solo Trio. What's the percentage of, if there is, if you can say such a thing, of you're working as O Solo Trio versus time spent with the unknown legends?
Right. It's becoming a little bit more often than the legends, simply because of the numbers game. When you're looking, if a club or an art gallery or something like that is looking to be able to hire somebody to be able to come and perform, it's always a lot easier to be able to find space for a three-piece band as opposed to an eight-piece band and all of the other things that we bring along with it. But we're hoping that as time goes by here that we continue to grow and people like what we're doing and other clubs want us to be able to come and play. We love playing festivals. Those are we have done this for such a long time, and I've got a lot of young guys in the band now too, but done it for such a long time that I'm almost turned into kind of a, hey, you know, if it's a gig from 7 to 9 in the evening, that's perfect for me. You know, I'd like to be home, and I'm kind of turned into a homebody after playing for so many years and being on the road and doing those kinds of things. It's nice to kind of pick and choose a little bit more too. But the trio is playing a lot more and gaining a lot of traction. And it's nice just to be able to kind of break down some of the songs we do with the legends and do them in a smaller setting with a little bit different instrumentation, more of an acoustic setting. And then, as I say, then those times when you really kind of need to blow off steam, why the band gets out and we play a lot of those songs in their fullest capacity. So
now the songs we're playing today just happen to be of the slower sort of ballady variety, but the band surely plays a lot of up-tempo, various types of things. What genres do you typically cross during the course of a typical gig?
Yeah, well, in some ways it's been a little bit hard to be able to describe because we do a little, because I still have some of the horn faction of the band, but I have two keyboards in this band. We do still do some blues and things of that nature. I can't get away from that. It was such a large part of my life. I mean, over half of my life was spent playing the blues and sharing it with the station up here at Illinois State University at GLT. So I had that opportunity to be able to really immerse myself in blues and really enjoy it. So we still try to be able to incorporate some of that. But also doing some country music, some Vince Gill, doing some Lyle Lovett, simply because there's another wonderful, you know, singer-songwriter and storyteller. We do some Beatles. We do some classic rock and roll. So it really is all over the board, but we're finding that people kind of like it because they can. It's different enough. There's enough signposts that they can grab a hold of and say, "Oh, I recognize that song," and then we'll hit them with a couple of things that they might not be familiar with, but then come back around to be able to make everybody feel comfortable in some way. And so there's some younger people that like what we're doing and enjoying what we're doing because we're playing some younger bands and stuff like that too, trying to be able to represent that genre of music a little bit. But you know, nothing in the pop scene, but certainly. I guess Americana kind of covers an awful lot of that genre of music, of contemporary folk music. So we're trying a little bit of everything and hoping it all works. So
people often say to me, you know, you have a voice for radio, which of course explains partly why I'm in radio, and so do you. And I understand you were in broadcasting of some sort for a long time.
I was music director and announcer at WGLT at ISU's public radio station. I was in public broadcasting for 17 years, then moved on to commercial radio at a couple of stations here in Bloomington Normal.
Well, it's not every radio voice that also has a singing voice, but you certainly do, and I enjoy listening to it. And,
well, thank you.
And let's give our listeners the chance to do so again. And this one's with, is this with the Unknown Legends?
No, this was, Candle was a song that I wrote for my dad. We heard Mary Ellen that I wrote for my mom a little earlier, and back in 1995, I'd just kind of gone through a hard stretch of a fiancé ending our relationship, and then my father getting ill and passing away. All happened within a couple of months of each other, and there was just one of those stretches where I had to get those things off my mind. And so the first verse kind of starts out talking about my relationship and the ending of that, but then kind of passes through going into my father's passing and just the experience of being at home. And I moved into the house that I grew up in, so now I'm constantly surrounded by those memories of childhood and stuff. But now with my family living here, we're creating some new memories. But at that point, it was really a very bittersweet thing. But once again, trying to be able to end that song on a positive note, because those relationships that we have with family and friends, they're up and down all the time. So the song kind of is the same way, a little bit sad, but it ends very, I hope, on a very bright note.
Candle in the Window, written by and sung by Mark Boone. Mark Boone and the Unknown Legends will perform Sunday from 4 to 6 at the Connie Link Amphitheater in Bloomington, and then the following Sunday, the 25th, at Miller Park in Bloomington from 7:30 to 9. And if you want to keep track of when the Unknown Legends are playing, when O Solo Trio is playing throughout the summer season, you can go to their website, which is BooneVilleMusic.com, B-O-O-N-V-I-L-L-E music.com. And Mark, really appreciate your spending a little time with us today.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
There's a candle in the window, just in case you might come home. I will lock my love inside my heart, if you'd rather be alone. The imprint of your body's on the cover, smell of your perfume just lingers in the air. There's the echo of your voice as you were leaving, and the memory of the love that we both shared. There's a picture of my father resting on the fireplace. His glasses hide his dancing eyes. There's that smile upon his face. The essence of his life is etched inside me. Gentle touch, the calmness in his voice. He just slipped away so quietly that morning. Hell, it wasn't really like he had a choice.
Mark Boone, his song Candle in the Window, at least the first portion of it anyway, and from his self-titled CD, Mark Boone and the Unknown Legends, playing at Connie Link Amphitheater Sunday in Bloomington from 4 to 6. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on tomorrow's program, we will welcome live in our studio for a studio performance, Ilan Piper. Paddy Keenan, down from Chicago, originally from Ireland, and he's going to be playing on the Piper's Hut concert series and are actually in Champaign performance tomorrow night, so we'll be pleased to have that preview. Also, we'll talk a bit about the Champaign-Urbana Roots Festival's Roots Walk, which includes a performance by an Irish band. We'll hear a bit about that on tomorrow's program as well. Just a couple of other events I have time to mention in our listening area. Tonight at 9 o'clock, it's the Amy Mitchell Trio performing at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign. The Dan Wendelken Group is playing at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock, and for that matter, the Gypsy Jazz Group Wagon Fire will be playing there in just a couple of minutes. And it's Dangerous Gentlemen at Baxter's American Grill in Bloomington this evening at 6 o'clock. It's Bones Bach playing jazz at Swinger's Grill in Normal tonight at 7. And tomorrow, the Diva and the Dude are at Clark Bar in Champaign, 6:30. The Dan Rivero Trio is at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. It's Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow evening at 5:30. And The Hobbit from Red Mask Players in Danville is at the Catherine Randolph Theater tomorrow and Saturday at 7, and also a Saturday matinee at 2 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 56 degrees, coming up at 5 o'clock.